It's good to be able to share with you again. It is such a privilege for me to be able to be a part of the heritage of this church. And I think that each time I have this opportunity, it gets a little bit easier because we've had the benefit of being able to grow more together in our relationships and really to become and experience what it means to be a family together. And I just want you to know that that is the spirit in which this message is delivered today. I am one of you. I have simply been authorized today to share God's word with you. And so that's what I intend to do. I'd like you to turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3. And we'll focus on one particular verse. But this one verse lies in a greater context of Peter basically speaking to the exiles about how they should live in the midst of a government that was very much anti-Christian at the time, and speaks on several different areas of submission to authority, governmental authority, authority within the home, authority in the workplace. We called them servants back then, but I think we can take it to today and bring that into the workplace as well. And in the midst of this explanation about how we were to live, he has a word to husbands. And that's the focus that I want to have today. It says in verse number 7, likewise. And that very simple word is simply pointing us back to what has been said up to this point. Essentially, it means in the same manner or in the same way as. And so he says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. If you would, let's pray together. Father, we come before you today, Lord, and we are in such a deep debt of gratitude to you for what you've done in our life. Lord, for your shaping, your forming, your process of making us like you. And Lord, we come to you today and we ask that your word, Lord, would be that which speaks to our heart. God, that it would go beyond my personal delivery, any personality issues. Lord, that you would speak in your grace and your mercy. And Lord, that you would have your way in our life and in our heart. So, Father, we commit our time to you. We commit our hearts to you, and we ask for you to speak to us in a very, very clear way today. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The 92-year-old matriarch of the Bush family knew that she only had a short time to live, and as her custom, sat down to write her children a final letter. It was a letter that never was completed, but contained several significant things, one of which I want to share with you this morning as we begin. She said this, "We are in a transitional period right now, fascinating and exhilarating times, learning to adjust to the change and the choices that we, men and women, are facing. Maybe we should adjust faster, maybe slower. But whatever the era, whatever the times, one thing will never change. Fathers and mothers, if you have children, they must come first. You must read to your children, hug your children, love your children. Your success as a family, our success as a society, depends not on what happens in the White House, but on what happens in your house." I respectfully disagree with the former First Lady in terms of priority. I know what she was saying, and yet we know as believers what the priority of every believer should be. And what is that? Somebody?
Jesus?
Yeah, what else? Anybody? Seek first the kingdom. Right? Jesus himself laid out the priority for every man, woman, boy, and girl in the kingdom of God, and that is to seek his kingdom first. And what does that mean? Seeking the kingdom means simply this: seeking for the will of the king to be done and to serve at the pleasure of the king. That's our role, and that's our responsibility. One thing that I do agree with Mrs. Bush, however, is the role of the family in that process. I actually think that the role of the family and the stakes, what's at stake today, is much greater with what we find in the family than it is even in the church itself. Because the church will never be any greater than the families that comprise it. And so today I want to share with you a message that actually has gone through several revisions on the way to this morning. Mike asked me several weeks ago to share with you today. And I knew at the outset that what was in my heart was to speak about the value of a woman. And through this message, I hope that ultimately you know and we get a sense of that theme, but as it began to shift and move and come together in my own heart, it really began to focus more on the men instead of the women. Because I'm convinced that if us guys can get our act together, that the home and our brides and our children, our daughters, they are going to be huge benefactors of God's grace and God's mercy as he works through us as men. So this message today is primarily targeting you guys. Now, I want you to know that I'm not preaching at you, all right? I'm one of you, and I understand you, and yet the message comes with a great deal of challenge. And the challenge is because our culture itself is really against what we see as God's divine order in the home. It tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul said, oh, and by the way, Paul is just as authoritative as all the rest of them, okay? There are a lot of people who would like to dismiss Paul as some chauvinistic kind of guy that it just doesn't apply in today's modern culture. But his word is as authoritative as all of the rest of Scripture that we have. And he said this: I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ. The head of a wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God. Now you can see, some of you might even be chafing a little bit in your seats to hear of such language in a day that is, forgive the language, hell-bent on destroying this very idea in our society, in our culture. It is totally designed to try to, in its own way, equalize the playing field between the genders. And I just want you to know that that's a battle that doesn't need to be fought. And I'm not talking about how much money women make and what jobs they hold and any of that kind of stuff. I'm all for it, whatever it is, all right? What I'm saying is that our equality was established at creation itself. God determined that a long time ago when He made the man and the woman in His image. That equality was further established at the cross of Jesus Christ when He declared in no uncertain terms the worth of a woman compared to the worth of a man. They're both the same because He died for us all. There's no shifting or variation in that. And so we're going to find our value, whether we're male or female, in that reality. That before the foundation of the world, God wrote your name down in His book of life, and He has dedicated His life and sacrificed His life for you to have life. And we're all on equal terms in that regard. But we have a major problem that took place millennia ago in the Garden of Eden. And it's a problem that I think many times we overlook. Perhaps we don't grasp the significance of what transpired. But it says in Genesis chapter 3, verse number 16, focusing on one little element of God's judgment that was rendered during that time period. He says, to the woman He said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Now, contrary to what some people might think, authority was not part of the curse. Authority existed prior to the fall. Authority is going to exist in the new heaven and the new earth. In fact, authority exists within the Godhead itself. The Godhead within the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, all are equal in their being, yet they are subordinate in terms of their function and role that they play. Because it says the Son, the head of the Son, is the Father. So what I'm wanting us to see is authority is not your enemy. But because of man's sin, God came and He spoke to each one of them, and each one of them had to bear some responsibility for the role that they played. And He said to the woman, not only will your pain be multiplied in childbirth, but your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. I don't have time to go through the doctrinal support of all of this, but the essential meaning of that particular verse is this, as it relates to authority, and I'm going to give attribution to my wife. She's the one who came up with this, and it just really describes it very well. Man will abuse it, and the woman will refuse it. That's what happened in the garden. Not only do we bear the guilt of Adam, not only do we inherit the nature of Adam, but the consequences of their sin have been passed down to us. And every day that we live together as a husband and as a wife, we go through this issue of authority and how it's worked out in our homes, with the man abusing it and the woman refusing it. I don't think we can, it doesn't take long to look at history and to see the role of women, their subjugation, their being abused and used by men in society. And this problem has worked perpetually ever since the first sin, and it continues to work today. Now, thankfully, there's a solution to the problem. And that solution is found in the cross of Jesus Christ. Because every time we find ourselves at odds with one another, and might I add, not only was the relationship between the man and the woman subjected to futility, but all of creation was subjected to futility. All of the relationships that we have, it's just kind of a love-hate kind of thing. We love each other on one hand, and yet we find all these things that are going on where people are killing each other, harming each other, doing all these things against one another. And it's just because of the sin that exists in our life. And there's only one solution to the sin problem, and that's the cross of Jesus Christ. So as we move through this today, here's the thing that I want you all to know as men and as women. This is a process. I wish this was going to be a message where you would walk out of here today with your magic pill and you could say, man, I'm going to do that. And then you go home and life is just transformatively different. And while on one hand that can begin to take place, I'm going to tell you, some of you are going to get in the car today, and before you get out of the parking lot, Genesis 3:17 is going to be at work. Your desire will be to rule over him, but he's going to rule over you. So I'm wanting you to see that the authority is not your enemy, and the cross of Christ is your friend. And it's something that we have to carry every day of our life, moment by moment throughout our life. We have to come to this place and say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. All right? Now, here's the thing that I really want to now direct to you men, because the whole thrust of the day's message is establishing the kingdom of God in your home. Okay? And so we're talking about the rule of Christ, the King who sits at the right hand of the throne of God, his will being done in your home. And you, as his servants, serving him and fulfilling that will through the course of your home. It's my premise that as we begin to find ourselves to the place of the cross and see the divine order reestablished in our home, that the kingdom of God is going to find its a full expression in our home, albeit limited to the family, but that influence will then begin to spill out or permeate into the society that we live within. It all begins in that family unit, and I realize that that unit has come under huge assault in our day. And I'm just here to tell you, wherever you are in that process, that the cross is your answer, and God will begin to establish his purpose and his will in your home for his glory. So my message and challenge is to you men, and to briefly tell you today what it means to be the head of your home. For you young ladies who are not yet married, you need to tune in, because this is what you want to look for in a prospective husband. If you have any desire whatsoever to have a home that's a biblical home, then these are the ingredients that you're looking for. But I want to tell you that you won't see them in their fullest expression or fullest maturity. This has probably happened to me 5 or 6 times. And the most recent was just a few weeks ago, 5 or 6 weeks ago. I don't dream a lot, hardly ever, at least what I can remember. If I remember anything, I've forgotten it by the time I get my coffee. And but what does happen, and maybe it's because of the preacher thing, I don't know, but I'll have these times where it's just like I am wrestling with a word, a particular word, that almost a preaching to myself kind of thing is going on in my sleep. It's like I feel like I don't know if it's a Jacob thing or what, but it's like it's all night long. And this word just keeps going over and over and over and over again. Well, this was one of those times, and the word, when I woke up, the word was this. exercise your authority. Exercise your authority. So I began to say, Lord, what does this mean? Because I had learned that it was Him. I don't know what that does with your doctrine about God talking these days, but I'm just telling you, it's just one of the things that He does in my life. And so I knew it was the Lord speaking to me. And the first thing that He began to speak about was exercising that authority in prayer, which I'm going to get to here in just a moment. But as that has been fleshed out, I go back to the day when my children, they were, my oldest was probably 8, 9 years old, youngest 6 years old. And I remember basically the Lord kind of bringing me to the party. I was pastoring my first church at the time, and He said, Rick, you may be pastoring this church over here, but you're not pastoring your family. And so being the good guy that I am, I said, okay, I'm going to get after this thing, and I'm going to be the boss around here. In fact, I kind of had a phrase that became a joke in our household. There's going to be some changes around this joint, right? It's like, okay, no more of this. This is going to be a new day, and by George, I'm laying down the law, and we're going to do it my way. Well, I'm just here to tell you that I didn't have a clue about what it meant to walk in authority. Not a clue. I'm telling you that I was in my mid-30s. I don't ever recall, and I grew up in the church, I don't ever remember hearing any kind of instruction about authority and what it meant to walk in godly authority. And I've been spending my life trying to figure that out. I'm still working on it, and so I just want to encourage you men, wherever you are today, it's never too late to start. But when you start, you just need to know you need to expect to fail, because you're going to, and you'll probably fail miserably. And so you're going to have to come back to the cross again. You're going to have to repent again. And wives, you're going to have to forgive Him again and again and again and again. It's just the nature of it. It's the process of sanctification in our life. None of us are there yet, right? None of us, whether we're male or female. And yet none of that dismisses our responsibility, nor does it diminish the authority of God's Word and His divine order in our home. It's still the same. Even though we may not like it, and even though culture may be assailing that at every turn, it's still what God says. It's how He set it up. So these remaining minutes that we have left, men, are what I have learned and what I believe Scripture is pointing out as to what it means to walk in authority. I believe as we do this, because Christ is our head, and what we're trying to do is to walk in His authority, not ours. Let me tell you something. You don't seize authority. You don't take authority. It says of Jesus that although He existed in the form of God, He did not regard equality with God as a thing to be grasped, to be seized upon. But He gave up, He divested Himself and came down and took the form of a man, a bondservant. And then it was after that faithful life of obedience that what did the Father do but take Him and exalt Him and put Him in a position of authority. I'm telling you, men, it starts with us abasing ourselves. It starts with us coming to the foot of the cross. It starts with saying, you know what? I know nothing. I am nothing. But Lord, I want Your rule in my life. Because it starts in Your life. If there's no rule of God in your life, you have no hope of establishing the rule of God in your home. None at all. If Jesus is not Lord of you, He can't be Lord of them. So, got a short time left. I knew it'd be this way. You know, I don't have the benefit that Mike has, because he knows he's got next week, right? I don't have that. So, first of all, men, accept your responsibility. Authority never comes without responsibility. In other words, you've got to answer for it. Now, this can be a very sobering thing for a man once he realizes that this thing called authority is not that you get to be the big cheese in your home. Okay? What it really means is that you are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ at some day, at some point, and you will give an account of how you have exercised the authority that He has delegated to you. It says, not specifically of husbands, but of leaders, in Hebrews 13:17. It says, to obey your leaders and submit to them, for they're keeping watch over your souls. That's what we ought to be doing as husbands, is keeping watch, shepherding our family. It says, as those who will give an account. You know, I haven't figured out totally this business of how God's going to forget all my sin and yet hold me responsible at the same time for how I've lived my life. Yet the only thing I know is that Scripture says that's exactly what's going to happen. So I don't walk around under this guilt cloud of, oh, I'm such a sorry sinner and all that kind of thing. But I do walk with this sober realization that one day I will give an accounting for what I've done in the positions of authority that He has established and put me in. It says, let not many of you become teachers, my brothers, knowing that you will incur a stricter judgment. Men, with authority comes responsibility. You will be the one that you will that will have to answer to God for how you have led your family. It's not that the wife won't have a place of accounting. Eve had her own place. You know, one of the most chilling words that I think there could be, God came to Eve and He said, what is this that you have done? What is this you've done? And so, ladies, know that you too will stand before the judgment seat, and you too will hear the words, what is this you have done? And we will give an accounting for the deeds that we've done in our body, whether good or bad, Scripture tells us. One of the biggest mistakes or misunderstandings, I think, that we have, and it's what we see going on in our culture and our society today, is there are two particular words that the Bible uses when it deals with this issue of authority. One of them is ekousia, which means authority. Translated authority, it means the right to act. The other word is the word dunamis, which means power and means the ability to act. We mistake the fact that because we've got the ability, we take that to mean that we've got the authority, and that's not the case. And so we've got a big cultural war going on between the genders right now because women are trying to prove they've got the ability, but they may not have the authority. And we've got men who have been given the authority and yet are not operating and functioning in the power and in the ability that God has given them. I'm simply here to tell you that just because you have the ability doesn't mean you have the authority. I have the ability to preach sometimes, but I cannot come in here next Sunday morning and say, Mike, step aside, I'm taking it today. See, I'm only here today because I've been authorized to be here, right? And so we've got to understand that distinction between the two. Nadab and Abihu, we see that account, sons of Aaron in Leviticus chapter 10. They came under the judgment of God because they saw Dad doing something and they said, if he can do it, I can do it too. And so they went and offered strange fire on the altar, and the ESV, or excuse me, the New American Standard actually translates that, I think it's the ESV, translates that unauthorized fire. So I'm telling you that authority is something that's been delegated to you. God is the one who has designed that and set that up in the home. And men, it's time for us to assume that place, to rise up as men, not as dictators, but as men who say, I want to function underneath the divine order that God has established for the home. Now, what does that look like, and how does that bear to our text today? First of all, you've got to get to know your wife. The good leader, the good husband, the good king knows his subjects. He knows what makes them tick. He knows how they're wired, and he begins to administer his rule out of that wisdom, out of that understanding. I think we all know, in spite of society's attempts to erase the gender lines, is that men and women are different. Right? We tick differently. And as much as I understand in my head, there's just a bunch that I still don't get as a man. But I have to devote myself to living with my wife, Scripture says, in an understanding way, with knowledge, that means. I kind of use this analogy. I can watch film of the childbirth process. I can see it take place. I can know all of the biological elements that are involved in that. I can get it up here in my head. But there's one thing that is absolutely never going to happen. I don't even think science is going to be able to make this happen. I will never understand the pain of childbirth. Never. I am not able to experience that. Not wired to experience that. Nor am I going to understand what a mother feels towards a child. We are just made differently. But men, I'm simply telling you or asking you, are you taking time to get to know your wife? To have relationship with your wife? You'll never be able to rightly administer the kingdom apart from a real intimate relationship with your wife. Knowing her and knowing how she ticks and how she moves and what makes her the special, unique individual that she is. Secondly, says to grant her honor. Grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. I like the New American Standard in this because it uses the term grant rather than the word show as in the ESV. Because it is really speaking to this role that men have as sovereigns in their home. They have the right, men, you have the right to grant, literally to give or bestow honor upon your wife. There are a lot of different ways you can do that. We're not going to go into all of that today. I'm going to tell you it's more than taking her out to Chili's after we're done here today for lunch. All right? There's just more to it that you've got to understand and realize the value that you have in your wife. And the simplest one that I can come up with, Carla and I are going to celebrate our 45th year together here in a couple of weeks. It dawned on me a few years ago that she had absolutely one life to live. One. And contrary to the mindset and approach of many people in our society today, we both entered into the marriage relationship and, you know, it was for keeps. This was it. Wasn't going to be anybody else. And when I look at all that I put her through over the last 45 years and to begin to think that she has taken the one life that she has to live and has given it solely to me, I'm amazed. I am baffled by that prospect. I am baffled by the prospect that there is any one individual that says, this is my life. This is my life here. I've got one of them and I am giving it to you and no one else but you. It's huge, guys. It is huge. And yet we have, unfortunately, done so many things to devalue. It's just the scheme of the enemy. That's what he's out to do, is to undermine the value in all human life. All human life. But it includes our wives. And we are to, as leaders in the home, it is our responsibility, our job, to grant honor to the women that we love and that have been our mates for life. Another thing that we can do is to teach our children. It's not contained in this particular text, but it's just worth putting in there for me. It's a huge role as a man. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, he said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart." Listen to this. It's not a role designed just for the men, but men, it includes you. We can't be shipping our kids out to the school expecting them to teach our children in the ways of the Lord. It's just not going to happen. And nor is it something that is just relegated to the woman. It's not just wife's work or woman's work. This is a command that is given to all of Israel. And it says, you shall teach them the commands that God has given them. His word, this precious word. He says, you shall teach them diligently to your children. Talk of them when you sit in your house. And when you walk by the way. And when you lie down. And when you rise. In other words, men, he's saying, this needs to be a part of your life. It's not just going to church once a week. It's not just getting in even a little family devotion from time to time. I'm telling you, our family, we failed miserably at the family devotion thing. I'm not saying don't try it, but I'm telling you, it was a mess. It was a fiasco. But one thing that I aspired to do, endeavored to do, tried to do as much as I could, was to speak of the Word throughout how I live my life and say to my kids, but the Word says, the Word says, the Word says. And you know what? To do that, we got to know the Word. If we're going to be teachers of the Word, we got to know the Word. And men, I'm asking you, what are you doing to educate yourself in the Word? Are you doing that? Please do. And take that. Take what God is putting in your heart and say, kids, my daughters, my sons, here's what God says. Because I'm telling you, if we don't do that, you know what they're going to learn? They're going to learn what the world says. It's going to happen. Somebody's going to learn something. Just depends on where it comes from. We need to teach our girls to be girls, teach our boys to be boys. I was just thinking of this whole value thing and valuing women. You know, I was taught, I knew what the Bible said about the sexual relationship in a marriage, that it was confined to that. You know, and I grew up in the sexual revolution of the 60s. I'm telling you, it got crazy. Got crazy. And there was one thing that I realized I never got taught. I was never taught the value of a woman. Never. I was taught to open doors for them and that kind of stuff. And by the way, that's still not a bad thing. Some women may get bent out of shape about it, but you know, still to this day, if I got a woman coming in behind me, I'm just going to hold the door open. Going to do that. But there's something that we need to be teaching our young boys and our young girls. We need to teach our young girls to quit selling themselves to the ways of the world and what the philosophies and things that the world is permeating upon them. Teaching them what it means to dress modestly and becomingly before the Lord, and not flaunt themselves everywhere they're going. And we need to be teaching young boys that these are priceless, priceless treasures. And they are not yours until some daddy gives them to you. They're just not yours. Men, we got to be doing something there. We exercise our authority by loving our wives. Oh, but I love my wife. Well, I know you do. But do you love her this way, as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her? Do you lay down your life? Is every day that you rise up as the head of your home? Does it begin at the foot of the cross, saying, Lord, I'm giving myself up today. Today is not about me. It's about your rule in my life. It's about your rule in my home. It's about me giving myself up for my wife, my children. Job is way down the list. Way down the list. And lastly, praying. Probably have not failed more miserably at this responsibility of being a dad than this one. It says of Jesus that he is our faithful high priest and that he ever lives to make intercession for us, right? It is the activity of our King that he is also our priest. And he is praying for us. He's praying for you. He's praying for me. He's praying for us right now. And our role as men in the home is to begin to rise up and intercede for our families. I'm not talking about some little... That's the best I can come up with. It's those... I'm just going to throw this one up, God. You know, I'm really kind of busy today, so there you go. I'm talking about where we have as our priority the kingdom of God, and I want it for my home. I want it for my life. I want it every day. I want it tomorrow and today. I'm starting today, and I am going to pray for the kingdom to come in my life and in my home, and I'm not stopping until it does. It says the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Men, we were created to be warriors. I get a little, I'm just going to say concerned, when I see the culture wars that are going on and people saying, you know what, I'm just not going to get involved with that. Now, I'm not talking about running to Facebook and starting to post stuff. All right? I'm saying that there is a battle to be fought. If we don't fight the battle, if we don't stand up and say, you know what? Enough of this mess. And begin to assail the throne room of God and saying, God, we need your kingdom. We need your kingdom in our families. We need your kingdom in our nation. Lord, we need your kingdom. We need your rule. We need you to establish your government in our heart. So, ladies, authority is not something to be afraid of. Men, it's not something to abuse. This is where it is. It's at the foot of the cross. It's in loving, honoring, praying, knowing, teaching. That's what it means to be the head of your home. you know, at some point along the way, maybe you have to make a call that your wife doesn't like. But I'm here to tell you that if you're doing these other things, I don't think she's going to care. She may chafe a bit. You know, after all, it's her sin nature, just like it's your sin nature. But I'm just saying, if we begin to get our priorities right, if we begin to get first things first, and we begin to understand this is what it means to be a man. This is what it means to be a husband. My life is not my own. I have been bought with a price. Would you stand with me? Again, I just want to underscore that it's just part of the process of your life. Don't beat yourself up when you mess up, because you're going to mess up. And ladies, don't hold it over your guy. You're supposed to be, you know, I want you to be the, everybody's going to blow it. But what I'm here to tell you is that, you know, there have been a lot of things attached to what took place at Pentecost, right? But one of the things that I know took place is God came down and He said, I've given you authority. Now I'm going to give you the power. And today we can ask our sovereign Lord to say, Lord, endue us with power. And I'm not talking about going out and toppling governments. I'm just talking about saying, God, would you come and establish your rule in my home? Would you come and endue me with the power to be the man that I need to be, the woman that I need to be, the children that we need to be? Would you do that? And that's going to be my prayer for you as we leave here today. Would you bow with me? Father, we place ourselves before you today in all of our weakness, Lord, all of our shame, all of our shortcomings. And Lord, we're grateful to you that in the cross you have found a way to redeem us, to purchase us, to make us your own, Lord, and to sanctify us and to make us like you. Father, I'm asking that right now, Lord, for anybody here who needs a sense of your touch, Lord, who needs to know that they've been authorized and empowered, Lord, I'm asking you to do that by your Holy Spirit in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, I pray that there would be a sense of your rich mercy, God, of your long-suffering, of your patience toward each and every one of us. God, and I'm asking you that you would help us to become more the men and the women that you've created us to be. Lord, may your kingdom come and may your will be done. Lord, not just in the earth, but Lord, would you start in our home? Would you start in our own family, Lord? Would you begin to reorder it, Lord? Would you begin to fashion it according to your way and to your purpose? I thank you for it, Father. We entrust your word to our hearts and ask you to perform it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless each and every one of you. The Lord keep you. the Lord empower you and fill you with His Holy Spirit, that you may be able to walk in His ways all the days of your life. Amen. Bless you.